The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Let's go, baby. Let's go. Let's get it going now. That's yesterday's notes. We got today's notes, baby. We got it going today, baby. Let's go! This is yesterday's coffee. I ain't finished it. Yo. little coffee ground? Yeah, baby. Let's get warmed up. Let's get fired up. Let's go. Let's get fired up now. So today, on today's program, we got a good one for you. We'll talk about LSU. We're going to talk about 49ers Rams. We're going to talk about Coach O saying that he wants a return to coaching. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this right here. Coach O says he wants to return to coaching. Okay, we've got more insight into the college football games that we're going to see this weekend. And we're going to talk more coaching vacancies. It looks like there's already some coaches on a hot seat. And we mentioned it yesterday. And we'll get into it a little more today. It is a great Thursday to be alive. All right, I just got out of the cold plunge. And feeling juiced up. Well, I got my kids tonight, so we'll try and watch this game on the phone. If not, get a look at the All-22 after the fact. I don't know if this 49ers-Rams game is going to be much of a contest. We got an 8.5-point spread. You take 3 points and give it to the Rams because it's at SoFi. You look at the fact that we've got Juwan Jennings out. We've got Brandon Ayuk gone. We've got no Kittle. Purdy's out again. No Nick Bosa. And the list goes on and on. My question is, who cleared Brock Purdy to play last week? And is it indicative of a larger problem in San Francisco? Is this training staff for the 49ers to blame for all these injuries that we've seen this team riddled with in the last few years? How is their training staff running things over there? Because I think, and we've mentioned it on the show a couple times recently, this 49ers roster is constantly riddled with injuries. And then we see Brock Purdy return to play before he's ready to return to play. Who cleared him? And is this happening more than we think? In recent years at San Francisco, it looks like injuries are going to be the downfall of this organization, at least as it stands. And that's why we sit at an 8.5-point spread for tonight's Thursday night football game. Matthew Stafford continues to play at a ridiculously high level, and we continue to see him get locked in with Nacua. Puka Nacua is probably one of the best receivers in the game right now. And I heard on some other shows that the Rams are one blocked kick away from being undefeated. I don't think I agree with that. I think they were outplayed by the Indianapolis Colts last week. Let me explain. Maybe outplayed is not the right word. Maybe it is. The Colts shot themselves in the foot numerous times last week. Adonai Mitchell, I think that's his name, for Indy, number 10, I think. I'm pretty sure he played a hell of a game. I watched some of it. I watched the red zone version of it. If you watch red zone, I said this weeks ago, if you watch red zone and that's your main way of consuming football on Sunday, you can't weigh in on these things. It's tough to weigh in on these things. I was traveling back from Oxford, Mississippi, and so I was forced to consume the red zone version of the NFL slate this past Sunday. I was sitting in an airport in Memphis, Tennessee, and the only thing I could get was the red zone on the NFL app. Anyway, I thought Indianapolis outplayed the Rams, and I think Indianapolis just shot themselves in the foot. We had Adonai Mitchell drop a ball prematurely. When are cats going to learn to not do that? When are they going to learn? You see it time and time again. It's NFL's greatest follies. Only OGs remember that. Those DVDs, by the way. NFL's greatest follies. When are cats going to learn? You got to run through the line with the ball secure. You can't just fool around. And then they had another touchdown Indy did that was called back because Adonai Mitchell was holding. So one player takes 14 points off the board willy-nilly. I don't think the Rams outplayed Indy. I think the Rams should have lost to Indy. I think Indy's a better team than the Rams are right now. With that being said, the Rams are one block kick away from being, I guess, 3-1, or sorry, 4-0, if you hypothetically look at it that way. What am I saying? Okay. But Puka Nacua looks like one of the best receivers in the game right now. And I think a big reason for that is when Matt Stafford gets locked in with a wideout. We saw it with Calvin Johnson. They set records together in Detroit. We saw it with Cooper Kupp back, I think it was 2021 season, their Super Bowl season. Cooper Kupp set records. And even before OBJ started having some injury problems, they got locked in. You can't really stop this Rams offense when Matthew Stafford is in sync with the receiver of his choice. I think we're seeing that with Nacua right now. It's really hard to say that you don't take the over on Matthew Stafford passing yards this evening, because this secondary for the San Francisco 49ers looks like practice squad secondary. They're just riddled with injuries. I really would like to know if there's some kind of issue with the 49ers training staff, because they just continue to have issues. They continue to have issues. And they send Brock Purdy in last week when he's not ready. And now he's out for tonight's game. It's a really bad look. I think it brings some issues to light, at least on the 49ers training staff front. Welcome to the show. If you're new here, appreciate you popping in. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like the video so that we can continue to grow. We're the fastest growing football channel on the World Wide Web. We're live Monday through Friday around this time. I normally say 5 or 6 Eastern, but we've been very late this week. I've had a colleague in town. We've been meeting, talking business, and I don't end up live here until about right now. So if you guys are just joining us, appreciate you popping in. Make sure you sub to the channel for me. It helps us a whole hell of a lot. So My prediction for the 49ers, Rams. Rams run away with it. Rams absolutely murder the 49ers, but I could be wrong. It's a division matchup. Division matchups are always weird. The NFC West, you know, Seattle seems fine. 49ers season, I think, is probably gone due to injuries. The Arizona Cardinals aren't worth talking about. And the Rams are the Rams. Sean McVay is one of the best young coaches in the game, if not one of the best coaches in the game. He's a real one. Sean McVay is a real one. I know I seem like I've been hating on the Eagles a lot on this show recently, but Nick Sirianni, he's a real one. Keeps it how it is. He's a Mount Washington guy. Mount Union, whatever the hell. That D3 school that's always winning national titles. Mount Washington. What up, Jefferson? Appreciate the sub, brother. Thank you so much. People on the audio platforms are probably like, what the hell is this guy talking about? But YouTube is the engine that drives this bus. So, you know, we got to shout out people when they pop in, shout out fans when they pop in. But, you know, if I had to take this 8.5-point spread is such a big figure for pro football. And you got to think, since the Rams are at home, Vegas is adding 3 points. And I don't really buy in. I'm a Southern guy. I got bias with football culture. I live in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's very evident. I've talked about this before on the show. It's very evident that people on the West Coast just do not take football as seriously as people in the South or even people in the Northeast. They do not take it serious. There's more shit to do out this way. There's more stuff you could, you know, you could not be a football fan out here and be perfectly happy with life. Sometimes as a Bengals fan, I wonder if I wouldn't be happier if I wasn't a football fan. You know, if I didn't care about sports. My Cincinnati Reds, we get swept last night. Don't even look like we belong. It's a young team. We got one of the greatest managers in history, Terry Francona, managing this team. But they just did not look like they belonged at all last night. Fought hard in the eighth inning. But there were two separate instances where the Reds left bases loaded, stranded. And they lose by 4 runs. If you just get 2 runs apiece in either of those situations, 2 more runs apiece, it's a tie ball game, 8-8. So, as a Cincinnati fan, Cincinnati sports fan, I'm hurting, as usual. It's just part of it. I don't know why we choose this life, cheering for Cincinnati teams, but we choose it, and we wear it. But this Thursday night game, man, you got this 49ers team that's absolutely riddled with injuries. And to top it off, you give these guys 3 days rest until you got to go back and pound with 300-pound guys, bang with 300-pound guys. You got 3 days rest. You got Monday, you got Tuesday, and you probably got to travel Wednesday. Traveling is not an easy feat, right, even if it's from San Francisco to L.A. I don't like Thursday night football. And there's a couple different reasons. The first reason is I always miss it because I'm doing something in the evenings. I got to go back and watch the All-22 film. Take my time. Take time out of my mornings to rewatch a Thursday night game. I'm busy. I can't watch Thursday night games. And I'm sure a lot of people on the West Coast, like myself, can second that. Right? So that's the first reason. The second reason is it's not safe. You cannot tell me that it doesn't take a toll on these guys only getting through.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
3 days rest from Sunday to Thursday, and then you got to go out and bang again. This is a violent fucking game we're talking about. Right? If it was basketball, it would be a little different. If it was baseball, it would be a little different. Those guys play every day. But it's football. You can't tell me that the NFL prioritizes player safety when they don't outlaw turf, when they only give these guys 3 days rest from Sunday to go play on Thursday again. They're sending them to London. They sent the Vikings to London for 2 fucking weeks, away from their bed, their families. You switch time zones. You make them play in Brazil. You make them play in Mexico City. But then the NFL wants to say, oh, we keep overtime to a certain extent due to player safety. And then you got these fans that paid to watch this Dallas and Green Bay game on Sunday night, and it ends in a tie. And you say that's because of player safety. Why are we playing on Thursday nights then? Why are we giving guys 3 days rest from Sunday to Thursday? And then you got to go and bang with 300-pounders again. Why are we sending people to London for fucking 2 weeks? And Dylan Gabriel, the rookie quarterback out of Oregon, he's going to get his first chance to start for Cleveland in London. That's going to be a big challenge for him. It would be a big challenge if it was going down in Cleveland, but it's going down in London. These guys got to adjust for time. They're away from their beds. They're you know, it's just all these mixed messages that the NFL sends. They don't prioritize player safety. They prioritize what makes them the most cheddar. And that's fine, but just say that. You know what I mean? Just be overt. I hate all this corporate speak. I experienced it when I worked in the NFL front office. It was a great experience, but you got a lot of people politicking. You got a lot of people saying something that they clearly don't mean. You know, and I wish sometimes these people, they would just drop the politician speak. They would just drop the NFL speak. I'm talking to executives. I'm talking to owners. And just say how it is. Oh, we do Thursday night games because it makes us money. Oh, we don't, I mean, it's a good look for us to care about player safety, but like, you know what I mean? You can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Either you got to completely go all in on player safety, or you got to completely go all in on, hey, we're here to make money. I think we should do away with Thursday night football. It won't happen. Obviously Roger Goodell is probably not gonna see this fucking podcast. It might be just blowing hot air. Maybe I think that's what this whole thing is, but I have a good time doing it. All right. I don't like Thursday night football. Give these guys 3 days rest. It's bullshit. You gotta give them more rest. You gotta give them more time to recover. The only way that I think Thursday night football will be plausible in that regard is if you gave both teams a bye week the week before. You give them time to rest. It's a brutal game. So the overtime shit, it's crazy. Like, the fact that fans pay for tickets and then the game has the possibility to end in a tie, just do it like college football does it. You know what I mean? Or at least have like a kicker shootout or something like that. Something. Sorry, I'm distracting. Something to make the game end in a win and a loss. You can't have... I was thinking this the whole time watching the Cowboys-Packers game on the Delta plane the other night. You can't have fans pay for tickets and it ends in a tie. And then you say it's due to player safety. Play another quarter. Do it college football style. Make these teams go for two or something. You can't do it, man. Can't do it. So I would take the over. This is not financial advice, by the way. I would take the over Matthew Stafford passing yards. I would stay away from that spread. That spread is way too big, although I think it's very attainable for the Rams to win by two possessions because this 49ers team is just beat up. I don't think this 49ers training staff's doing their job. You don't send Brock Purdy back out there when he's not ready, and it just seems indicative of a larger problem over there for that training staff. Let's talk about LSU football here. I think that Brian Kelly is not a fit in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I think that LSU's got a chance to end the season 8-4 or 7-5. And I think Brian Kelly's eventually going to get run out of Baton Rouge. If not this year, eventually. He's not culturally a fit there. You listen to him talk, and you think he's inspiring the people of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You think he's inspiring the players in that locker room. They got one of the most expensive rosters in the SEC, and they're underperforming right now. This might be a big overreaction considering the game I just watched unfold in Oxford, Mississippi. But it just does not seem like Brian Kelly is a fit in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, as the head coach of the LSU Tigers. It just is not. I don't buy Brian Kelly being a top-tier coach in college football. I've never bought it. The guy's never won a national title. I'd be shocked if he ever does. I do not know. I'm sure there are closed-door reasons. I do not know why Coach O was ever run out of Baton Rouge. He was the perfect fit. He won a national title. They let him go 2 years later. It really made no sense. There had to be a lot of contention behind closed doors with Coach O and LSU because I think that they should bring him back. He's a perfect fit. Coach O, he walks into a room and he opens his mouth and everybody listens. I don't think the same goes for Brian Kelly. It's not personal. It's just who he is. He doesn't get me fired up when I hear him talk, Brian Kelly, that is. Coach O, the exact opposite. So Coach O was, I guess it was some local news station. It was like a Patrick Queen, the linebacker for Pittsburgh, former Ravens linebacker, former LSU linebacker, great player. It was like some jersey ceremony. And I guess Coach O was there, and I guess some local news outlet grabbed a microphone, turned the camera on, and started talking to Coach O. And Coach O said verbatim, "I left a little meat on the bone. I'd like to get back to coach." Is that a good impression? I think the meat on the bone one was good. I left a little meat on the bone. It's just that voice. You know what I'm saying? What was that video? There's some video out there. It was like an LSU player. Back when Coach O was coaching there, and he went like live on Instagram, and they had just beat Alabama, and he walks in and goes, "Roll Tide! Roll Tide! Fuck you!" But that's who you want to play for if you're an LSU Tiger, not this Brian Kelly Notre Dame, you know, coach speak. "Well, we want to make sure we put the best players out there. We want to make sure, you know." He's never won a fucking national title. I don't know if it's Brian Kelly's appearance. I don't know if it's the way he sounds. He's just not a coach that I would get fired up to play for. And at LSU, I feel like that's a requirement. We were literally playing one of LSU's band songs to open the fucking show every day. You know what I'm saying? Does this sound like Brian Kelly? Sound like Brian Kelly? No, it's not my go go go. We don't get the time rolling. Roll Tide, fuck you. Go back down to Louisiana, he's okay though. You know what I'm saying? That's what you need. You need Coach O back at LSU, dude. I don't care. Brian Kelly's gonna get run out of there, dude. That's just how I feel about it. Other realistic places where Coach O could end up. Look, South Carolina is underachieving. I wouldn't be shocked if at some point, you know, Shane Beamer got let go from South Carolina. They had huge expectations, and they just really aren't. It seems like they're not meeting them. They beat the shit out of Kentucky this past weekend, though. I will say that. But Kentucky's a half-ass program. I've said that. As a Lexington, Kentucky native, I feel like I've got the right to say that. University of Kentucky is a failing football program. Always has been. Probably always will be. I just don't see that as a desirable head coaching job in college football. It seems like a graveyard for coaches. Although Mark Stoops is one of the longest tenured head coaches in college football, I see that as an inept, what's the word I'm looking for? I think I blame that on the athletic director, Mitch Barnhart. He's a schmuck. Sorry. Family, friends see this, they might be offended by that. Back home in Lexington, Kentucky, breathe in a little complacency down there in Lex. You know what I mean? I'm just talking right now. But that's all this show is. So, realistic spots for Coach O. If he were to try and take a head coaching role somewhere, I think it's Florida, because I think Billy Napier is going to get fired. Could be South Carolina. Shane Beamer could get let go there if they continue to underachieve. And then there's a job opening at Virginia Tech. I looked at this a couple minutes before the show. Brent Pry was the head coach at Virginia Tech, and he got fired a week or two ago. He got fired a week or two ago. And so now they got an interim head coach. I think his name's Philip Montgomery. But if they don't choose to keep Philip Montgomery on board, that could be a prime spot for a guy like Coach O. And I guarantee you Coach O is at least going to start getting some phone calls after this little interview of his, this meat on the bone interview, starts to circulate around the World Wide Web as it is. So that's my take there. Brian Kelly, he's not going to last in Baton Rouge. I don't think the fans like him. The LSU fans I talked to in Oxford this weekend, none of them liked him. I asked all of them. I said, what are your thoughts on Brian Kelly? They said he needs to get the fuck out of here. We don't like him. And they got the most expensive roster in the SEC, one of the most, and they're underachieving. Their offense can't do anything. They got Sloan down there at offensive coordinator. If they're going to fire anybody, they got to let his ass go. Because that offense is just too vanilla. You got the right players, man. You got to dial up some shit. You got to. So I wouldn't be surprised if LSU didn't finish the season 8-4, 7-5. We got. And by the way, I mentioned London. I mentioned the Browns. I mentioned Dylan Gabriel. And I talked about Shedeur Sanders' absolute clown show of an interview that happened yesterday after Dylan Gabriel was announced as starting quarterback. Guy was just clearly crashing out. It was horribly immature. It was unprofessional. Like, if I'm working anywhere.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Or else, and the media approaches me like, do you think it's professional for me to like start acting like a mime and just mouthing words and doing nothing? There's some people on TikTok that were defending him on my videos yesterday, and I was just like, how can you defend that? I don't get it. Like, I'm not trying to be on the right side or the wrong side here. It's just objectively, if you're Shedeur Sanders and you behave this way, like, the entitlement of the NIL era, I think, is a real problem in football. These kids are all gimme, 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 but they don't want to give anything. And I sound like a fucking boomer. But Dylan Gabriel, clearly some contention in that quarterback room. Dylan Gabriel made some passive-aggressive slight at Shadur. That's how people are construing it or whatever. He said there's never going to be a perfect time or something like that. I mean, there's clearly contention in this locker room, which is, to me, an indicator of dysfunction within an organization. It's not football to me. Football is, you're my dog no matter what. I ride with you because we wear the same uniform. And if we have a problem, we're going to handle it like men behind closed doors. We're not going to go to the media and make passive-aggressive comments like a little pussy bitch. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say it that way, but it's what it is. It's not a football attitude. Big Hot Wang, what up, Wei? It's not a football attitude to... Like, you know, Dylan Gabriel, he's going to the media and saying, well, there's not a perfect time for anything. And maybe it wasn't what he's talking about, but the media is construing it as a passive-aggressive comment. And typically, for me, where there's smoke, there's fire. You got to resolve shit with your teammate. Your teammates are your boys above anybody else in the world. When you're on a football team, I don't give a shit what the situation is. I don't give a shit who's trying to get whose job or who's trying to get what job. That's your boy. You're loyal to your boy. And when you're loyal to your boy and you have a problem with him, you handle it behind closed doors. You don't go to the media and make passive-aggressive comments. And I think when that kind of stuff occurs, it's very indicative of a dysfunctional organization. So if you're worried more about making passive-aggressive comments against not just your teammate, but a guy that you are in the same position room as day in and day out trying to learn and get better, it's just, I don't like it. So anyways, that's the pro football for today. I know we got into a little bit of college. That's going to kind of be where we live for the rest of the episode here. We got Miami versus Florida State this weekend. It's not an SEC game, but... Both of these teams, Miami and Florida State, they should be in the SEC. I'm sorry. That's how I feel about it. These two teams, these two programs, they're programs with an SEC feel to them. And this game's got an SEC feel to it. Can you hear the bias in my voice? So it's the first road game for the U this season. Florida State just got beat by University of Virginia. I know it sounds crazy after one loss to University of Virginia. But FSU's season seems to be in the rafters, in the balance. However the hell you say that, you guys know what I'm trying to say. If they lose this game, their season is at risk of spiraling. A season that started with so much optimism. So it's the first road game for the U this season. The U, they've got the best defensive end in college football, Ruben something. I can't remember his name. He's number 4. The guy's an absolute game wrecker. I'd be shocked if this guy wasn't a top 5 pick in the draft this year. But FSU's desperate. And like I said, their season could spiral. This is the first time this season that it might not rain in a Miami game. Every single game the U has played this year so far, they've had a rain delay. So I think what's going to happen in this FSU-Miami game is Florida State's going to be emotionally amped for the first 5-10 game minutes, maybe the first quarter. What Miami needs to do, because I think Miami is top to bottom the better team, they've got to weather the storm, and then they've just got to play. They just got to play ball. They got to hit him in the mouth after they emotionally calm down. And that's a big challenge with this game. Sometimes being emotionally amped can really help you in football, but sometimes it's almost like a fighter in the UFC coming out for a fight and throwing everything he's got for the first round, and then he's completely gassed, and it ends up not helping him. That emotional high, you end up having to pay for that at some point. It's kind of, fighters call it an adrenaline dump. So Florida State, look, they got to channel this energy. They got to channel this desperation, which is crazy to say after one loss, but it comes to the University of Virginia, a loss that they didn't expect. And those losses tend to hurt more than, you feel that emotion from a loss like that more than any other kind of game. I'm talking about losing to a team you feel like you shouldn't have lost to. That emotionally is more vivid than beating a team that you feel like you shouldn't have been able to beat, in my opinion. The emotion outweighs it of losing to a team that you shouldn't have lost to. Ashley says, Red Sox-Yankees game 3 tonight. Kind of scared, kind of absolutely ready for the Yanks to get crushed by my Boston Red Sox. Ashley, I appreciate you popping in today. I hope you're doing great. My Cincinnati Reds got swept last night, and I have subsequently checked out of any interest in baseball. We looked like we didn't belong against these Dodgers last night. We got absolutely whipped both games. We've got a young, promising team. Your boy Terry Francona is in charge of our young team. But we just looked like we didn't belong at all last night. Completely demoralized me. The state of Cincinnati sports, and I realize I'm making this about me, by the way. The state of Cincinnati sports is just very painful for me. And subsequently, after last night's game, I watched the whole thing. After last night's game, Reds-Dodgers, we get beat 4-8 to cap off the sweep. It's too painful. It's too painful for me to talk about baseball. So, but again, you know, Florida State's going to be desperate playing this game. They're going to be very emotionally charged to start the game. So it's going to be on Florida State to make sure they don't adrenaline dump too early and then lose steam after the first 5-10 game minutes. And then it's going to be on Miami to weather that storm, make sure they don't get their top blown off to start the game. And then they just got to settle in and smash, play football, hit them in the mouth, and do what they do. Because I think top to bottom, Miami's got more talent on their roster. They've got one of the best players in college football, number 4, playing defensive end for them. Ruben something, I think his last name starts with an S. So that's kind of my game of the week. Look at this. We got something. Somebody popping on my screen. There's a little bubble. I don't know if y'all saw that. It was weird. This is a one-man show, so sometimes things happen with the tech that I'm not aware of. But anyways, so I'm excited about that game. We talked about the Bama-Vandy game a little bit this week. We're going to talk a little more about it. I think everyone thinks that Bama's seeing this as a revenge game. And I think in the building, I think Kalen DeBoer's definitely. Here's the thing about being an effective coach, especially in college football. And this is just my two cents, being a former college football player, being in a building week in, week out, where you're listening to the head coach talk at the team meetings, you're listening to the assistant coaches talk in the special teams meetings or the position meetings or the offense-defense meetings. The most important aspect that I've noticed in being a successful college football coach, running a successful college football program, is the narrative that you're bringing to your team every week. I think narratives are important. Stories are important because it brings something out of the players that you might not get otherwise. So Kalen DeBoer for Alabama is definitely painting this to his players behind closed doors as a revenge game. He's showing them the film from last year and saying, look at what these Vandy guys did to you. Look at what they did to you. So I think it's pretty obvious that's the narrative in their building this week. And I think it's pretty obvious that Vanderbilt has actually got a better team this year than they have last year. Like I said yesterday, Clark Lee, the head coach over at Vandy, has really, really built something at Vanderbilt. And again, I said this yesterday too. Vanderbilt has got no excuse to not be one of the top programs in the SEC. They never have been, which, so that might be crazy for me to say. But you're an SEC program. You're by far the top academic institution in the SEC. Who doesn't want a degree from Vanderbilt? You get the chance to play in the SEC. And you're living in one of the top cities in America right now, in Nashville, Tennessee. So the only thing, and I'll say this too, I mentioned Brent Pry earlier. Brent Pry was the head coach at Virginia Tech until they started 0-3, and he got fired. Brent Pry was the linebackers coach under James Franklin on his staff, ended up following James Franklin to Penn State. But back when I was a high school prospect in 2013, I mentioned this yesterday, I went to Vandy's camp, and I remember seeing the program James Franklin was building there and thinking, golly, same things I'm saying now. SEC, who doesn't want a degree from this school? Who doesn't want to live in Nashville? I was all in. When I was a high school prospect, and I ended up not being good enough to get a scholarship offer. But when I was 17, 16, I was like, damn, I really want to play here. I remember emailing Coach Pry all the time because Coach Pry was the linebackers coach there. And I actually got to spend some time with him. And I was like, this guy is great. I love this guy. And then I looked up who's the head coach of Virginia Tech, and it said Brent Pry. Now, it's unfortunate he got fired after 3 weeks this year. But some guys are great position coaches and great coordinators, and sometimes they lose locker rooms or whatever. But I had a relationship with Coach Brent Pry. I wanted to play for him. He was a great coach, and I had a great time working with him as a high school prospect when I went to Vandy's camp, back when he was a linebackers coach at Vandy. But anyways, the macro point I'm trying to make here, Vandy has got to, the athletic director, the president, whoever's job this is, they've got to paint themselves now as a premier athletic program. Because what happened when James Franklin got some buzz there, when Coach Pry was the linebackers coach there.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Was that it was seen more of a stepping stone coaching role and not the creme de la creme. And that's why Coach Franklin, Coach Pry as well, ended up leaving to go to Penn State, which is what you would perceive as a premier program. Okay, I don't know if I would, you know, Penn State, like I have SEC bias. I'd probably, you know, I don't know if I should speak on Penn State. I don't see them as the creme. Anyway, a lot of people disagree with me on that. But Vanderbilt has got to make sure that they're painting themselves as this is the destination to Clark Lea so that he doesn't head out and he continues to build this program. What are these bubbles on the screen? I don't get that. Because if they don't, they are at risk of losing Clark Lea, who's building a great program here, just like they lost James Franklin back in 2014. And this program, really up until they beat Alabama last year, had no accomplishments after James Franklin left. The program was basically left in the dust. And so Vanderbilt has to make sure they take care of this head coach that's building this program for them right now, so that they don't have another lost decade. And I think NIL's changed things. And I guarantee you Vanderbilt's got a lot of wealthy donors that are going to continue to help this program. I posted a video about NIL yesterday and asking, is it ruining college football? And I had a split response. But I do think that people that are advocating for NIL online we're making great points. There's more parity in college football than there's ever been. And that's kind of a buzzy talking point, but I think it's buzzy for good reason. I think it's very true that programs like Vandy are finally going to have the chance to flourish and blossom as a real SEC program. Now, We'll see how they play against Bama this year, but I don't think it's going to be a 45-0 Bama revenge game. I really don't. Vandy's got better receivers than they did last year. They can blow the top off your defense. They got guys like Trey Richardson, Junior Sherrill, guys that can blow the top off, and obviously Diego Pavia is a great player, so I don't see it being a 45-0 revenge game. I do think Alabama has the edge, but we'll see. Could Vandy knock them off again? It's in Tuscaloosa. You got College Game Day. I can't remember the last time that Vanderbilt had College Game Day in town for their game. So this goes back, for me, this goes back to 2014. I've always wanted to see Vanderbilt succeed as a program. And now you got Theo Vaughn showing up to the practices, giving the team motivational speeches. You got Ishow Speed showing up to the practices. Nashville's a buzzing place, man. Spencer Martin, he says, hate to, dude, you can spam the chat all you want. You realize it helps me, right? I appreciate you being in here, brother. Virginia beating Florida State, running on the field so fast it hurt people. That's funny. My boy Spencer, he's in the chat asking about Virginia Tech, and I think he popped in here right as I was talking about him. But yeah, I mean, look, one of my most overlooked games that I'm excited to see this weekend is UVA and Louisville. UVA's got a great back, Jamari Taylor. Looks like an NFL back, this kid. UofL's undefeated. I think UVA's headed there to play. And I think that's an exciting game. I'm an SEC supremacist through and through. But I mentioned two non-SEC games that I'm really excited about this week. UVA and Louisville, I think, is the most overlooked game of the week this week. So I think that'll be a fun one. We got Texas A&M versus Mississippi State. Jeff Lebby's got Mississippi State playing real hard. I think Mississippi State should have beat Tennessee. I think Mississippi State is the Vanderbilt of last year. You guys get what I'm saying, right? Mississippi State this year is Vandy last year. A lot of people are overlooking them, but they got some juice. So that's a game I'm looking forward to. Texas Tech versus Houston. Okay. Houston is coached by Fritz. That's their head coach. And I think if Fritz is able to get the job done against Texas Tech this week, he's going to be in the running for that Arkansas job. Texas Tech showed out in Salt Lake City. They've got a good team. I don't know if Houston has got enough weapons yet to contend with a program like Texas Tech, but it's an interesting game. It's going to be a fun one. Might be a bit of a shootout. Who knows? But, you know, Spencer might be interested to hear me say this. I think Coach O is a great candidate for Mississippi State. If you guys are just tuning in, we mentioned this earlier on the show. Coach O was interviewed by some local media news outlet. It was at Patrick Queen's jersey retirement ceremony or something somewhere. And Coach O said, "I think I left a little meat on the bone. I'd like to get back to coaching." So you look at the short list of places Coach O could end up. Virginia Tech's on there if they don't choose to retain Philip Montgomery as interim head coach. I think Billy Napier's out at Florida. It's going to get fired. So I think Florida's probably going to be the most attractive head coaching job out there in college football. South Carolina, if they choose to get rid of Shane Beamer, I know South Carolina's underachieved a bit. They beat the shit out of Kentucky this past week. But Kentucky's a failing program. We've gone through all this already, but I'm just humoring the people that are just popping in here. And then I mentioned this to start the show. I don't think that Brian Kelly is a fit at LSU. I think he's going to get run out of Baton Rouge. And so does that set the stage for a Coach O return to Baton Rouge? I'd get a little blood flowing down south for me, let me tell you, because I think Coach O is a perfect fit. I don't know what went on behind closed doors, but I really don't understand why 2 years after the national championship win, one of the greatest college football teams ever, I think it was pre-NIL, wasn't it, that 2019 LSU squad? I don't know why Coach O ever got run out of Baton Rouge. I think he was a perfect fit there. So maybe Brian Kelly gets run out. Maybe LSU ends up 8-4, 7-5 with one of the most expensive rosters in the SEC. And Brian Kelly gets run out of there. When Brian Kelly opens his mouth, I'm not inspired by what I hear. I don't know if it's his voice or the way he says things, his appearance. I just always see him as like a kind of dick half limp, like Notre Dame guy. I don't think that fits Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I don't think that fits LSU, you know. So with Virginia Tech, Coach O definitely, I think, on the short list there to be looked at as the head coaching candidate for the Hokies. That's just the humor of my boy Spencer in here who's listening, tuned in. So that's kind of the rundown for today. I know we got Thursday Night Football coming up. I'm not going to be able to watch a whole hell of a lot of it. What is that bubble on the screen? I don't get that. What is that? You guys see that? I don't know what's going on. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting too. Spencer Martin's in here giving some juice. He said that there's an interview with Michael Vick out there. He's coaching at Norfolk State, which is also in Virginia. He's a head coach there. I know that. And then Deshaun Jackson's a head coach somewhere too, I think at HBCU. And they asked him about possibly returning to Virginia Tech. That would be really cool. That would be really cool. I think that would probably almost be a better fit for Virginia Tech than maybe Coach O. But Coach O, I think, is just the polar opposite of Brian Kelly. When Coach O talks, people listen. He's an imposing presence. I don't think Brian Kelly's an imposing presence. And I think that's the type of person, I think an imposing guy that walks into a room and hears, and everybody stops what they're doing to listen to him talk. I think that's the kind of coach you need at LSU, a big set of cajones. You know, and I think Coach O fits that box. I don't know why he didn't work. I don't know why they ran him out of town. I just don't. I think with this roster, this team probably goes and beats Ole Miss last week, which is a game I was at. I just can't get over this bubble. I don't understand what it is. But anyways, the audio listener is going to be like, what is he talking about? Yeah, and then the other thing, too, is that Coach O, wherever he goes, he's probably going to bring Lance Thompson, who is an incredible recruiter, especially in this NIL era. And you don't know, like with this NIL era, coaches might be looking at different jobs a little bit different than they would before. And NIL might have been part of the reason why Coach O didn't work out in Baton Rouge, but I don't know. The sentimental side of me wants to see a Coach O return to Baton Rouge. I just think he's a perfect fit. So with that, I'm going to let you guys go. I do think I'm actually going to hop on a Madden stream today. I've been so behind this week. I've had a colleague in town. We get together to discuss business, and then what's supposed to be an hour-long conversation turns into a three-hour-long conversation, and then I don't get home to shoot the podcast until like an hour or two behind, and then I've got my evening activities, right? I'm coaching ball or going to train jiu-jitsu, and so I've said a couple times this week we're gonna hop on Madden right after this, and I haven't. But today we've got time. We're actually gonna hop on, play a game of Madden. We are almost, I think, in the top 100 players in the world. I think it sounds too good to be true. I don't know if it's legit or if I'm just smoking. I don't want to make drug references on here. Yeah, I don't know. But objectively, I think we're only a couple steps away from being the top 100 players in the world in Madden. So we're going to try to continue that road here right after this. I'm going to upload the audio version of this episode, and we're going to go live for Madden. So we'll play a game. Uh-huh. All right. So that's today's show. Appreciate you guys popping in. This is the new theme song of the show, Talking Outside of Your Neck. I'm not even an LSU fan. I just love the, I love their program. I love the people there. It's also done trigger copyright, which I like.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.